Oh, we're on the air.
Yay! Welcome to Suzilla. I'm Susie.
I'm Matt.
Yeah, that's Matt. I'm Susie. And we are Wenatchee Insurance here in the lovely valley of Wenatchee, Washington. And we're talking insurance and other stuff. What's our topic today, Matt?
Well, we're going to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart.
Okay.
And the question whenever I do any sort of presentation is, or view any presentation, is there enough meat on the bone?
Okay. That's an interesting question. So expand upon that.
Okay. When you create an offer, or you create anything out there and you present it to someone, they have to be able to see value.
Okay.
That other person has to see, answer that question, what's in it for them.
Okay.
And they have to have value in that.
Okay.
I've seen some really horrible, horrible offers recently out there of people not being able to get attention off themselves and onto the person that's being presented to.
Okay. Go ahead.
A great example of that is my favorite is the whole surety bonds.
Okay, I don't know. Oh, that's that whole, okay, go on.
Okay. Very famous case out there of a politician realtor has been ordered to place some bonds into the court system to make sure that they get paid.
Right. Now, if he doesn't provide the bond, he can't file an appeal.
Correct.
And if he doesn't get to file an appeal, he doesn't get to argue the case anymore. And it's just the current ruling stands, and he has to make the payments to the winner of the case.
Now, the surety bond is a third party saying, yeah, you know what? We're gonna pay the forfeiture if that's required.
Okay.
That is their portion of business. They get a fee and they pour it for a good deal. They say, okay, yeah, this is our cut, and yeah, we'll front the money. Now, that realtor's lawyers went to the judge and say, hey, you know what? Instead of doing it before, we want to do the bonds after.
Which is not even remotely how bonds work.
It's not how bonds work. It's not how the court system works, because at the end of an appeal like that, the money's automatically forfeited.
Right. So what the realtor is saying is, I want to get the bond after I win the appeal. Because he is very sure in his head he's going to win the appeal. Other people are going, no, you're really not. The bond placers, those who would be offering the bond, I have no idea what their opinion is.
There are 30 underwriters, and they all view that risk, even with putting up property, as a bad deal.
It is a bad deal.
And then the reason why is because those properties are mortgaged up to the hilt.
Yeah, there's no money. There's no meat on that bone.
There's no meat on that bone.
So if it does end up going into arrears, which is highly likely, the fight over the who gets to a piece of the property once it has to be sold off, no one's going to get the money that they're actually owed.
Yeah, so the bonds are like, no, this is a bad deal. We're out.
So here's a question. Are they saying, is the realtor saying that he's got somebody on the hook that would do the bond after the appeal?
That they'll put up the money after.
It doesn't make sense.
The judge and prosecutor are like, no, this is a bad deal. The bonds people are a bad deal. The realtor, who is in charge of this deal, cannot get their attention off themselves and onto the people that he's presenting the deal to.
No, that's not the way he works.
Doesn't matter the way he works. That's the way, if you want a deal to go by, that other person has to see the value in that.
And that's not happening.
That's not happening.
Not even remotely happening. That's one of the problems when you're dealing with somebody who is so egocentric. is they can't, they're only interested in how the deal would affect them and not how it would be appealing to the other member of the party that they're trying to deal for. This is one of the reasons why that person has a tendency to rip off their,
I'm just going to chuck that realtor to the curb because you know what? He's not alone in this world.
No, he's not. He's just the most famous version of it right now.
No, it's just one version of it. Another great example of that is that knucklehead on TikTok that is famously being roasted. Don't respect a woman's no.
Yeah, you don't have to take, basically, you don't have to take no for an answer if you're hitting on a woman.
Yeah. And it's like, mind you, this is after a presentation has been done.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're into the second part of the deal, which is where are things at? He needs to slow his roll.
He really does.
And look at it. It's like, okay, you're not offering anything. And that's why they're saying no.
Yeah. If you're not familiar with this situation, this is...
However, it's common. I remember cats like that growing up, and the phrase was is they got no game.
No, they don't got a game.
And because dating there's some playful gameplay in it, and part of it is like, hey, it's fun. Do you want to hang out together?
Yeah.
If they don't see it as fun and you're hanging out together,
then
there's no gameplay.
There's no game. There's nothing. There's no fun. Yeah. Because the thing is about a game is you got to have everybody invested in having a good time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not going to be a good time.
Yeah.
You know, and this dude was he styles himself as a professional dating coach.
Yeah.
You can't see the air quotes, but they're there. And he actually stepped up and said, oh, well, you don't have to be, I don't remember exactly the phrasing, but if a woman says no, you just have to present yourself in a, well, okay, fine. I guess you're not good enough for me kind of an answer response. He's not taking no for an answer, which is very predatory.
Oh yeah. There's level of, sorting.
Yes.
And when you're in sales, because it's a very salesy thing to do is folks that are focused on the sale and not the client will sort. Okay, what niche do they fall into?
Okay,
and you'll qualify them.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on to the next step of qualification by let's make sure that they have a low enough self-esteem. To see if they'll get a yes if they got low enough self esteem.
Yeah.
If not, they're sorted out.
Yeah. And that means which means he's really working on some. His angle with this is to attract or to capture women in his situation who are very vulnerable, generally speaking, and the potential for abuse there is huge.
Well, yeah, and this is very similar behavior to what you see in the a lemon car lot, where you put together your last $5,000 and got payments going just to get a car so you go to and from work, and you see the lot guys and their little cheap windbreakers give themselves high fives, and that car breaks down within the first week.
Yeah,
because you bought a lemon.
Yeah,
and they knew that they sold you a lemon.
Yeah,
it's not the value, because your value was I've got a car that I can depend on to get to and from work. I've got a way to pay for it. Okay, I got this working. And so you have that expectation of value. And when it doesn't happen, because it broke down, because it was a lemon, you feel ripped off.
Yeah.
And again, that's
because you were ripped off.
You were ripped off. And you're ripped off by folks that weren't following the golden rule. Mm-hmm. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Right.
And it's one of those cycles. And and we've got to get back into that cycle of presenting that value.
Okay.
We can't say, okay, oh my gosh, I'm going to only charge $30 for a hamburger. There are hamburgers out there that are running $30.
Oh, I know. And but what's the value in that burger? The value is, okay, so is it, do you get a nice pile of fries with it? Do you get a milkshake as a part of the package? Is it just a hamburger and a bun? And do you even get cheese with it? If you don't get the value for that $30, then you have to assess whether or not it is of worth that $30. Some people will buy it and figure, and the value is in the, I bought a $30 hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
Other people go, it's like, that's not enough of a meal for $30. I can get 5 meals for $30. I'm going to go over here instead.
Yeah. Well, one of our classic rules that we had is when we went out to eat is like, we go out to eat where we can't make it for that price.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can't make it at all.
Yeah.
It was one of those things. So it's like, yeah, it's, you have to think of what the value is. And the problem is right now we've got such a weird offset.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, you roll into McDonald's and here's a $12 burger.
Yeah. Well, $12 meal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's gotten, and that's where the value menus come in. Cause they have you can get a Big Mac and a French fries and a drink for $12, mm-hmm. or you could go to their value menu
mm-hmm.
and get something similar for, $6.
Yeah.
And guess where the profit lies? From McDonald's.
Well, I know it's in the soda, but.
Yeah, ultimately. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, their dollar menu or their value mm-hmm. menu is where they're making bank on that.
Highest margin.
Oh, yeah. And then they expect that mm-hmm. they set that up. That's the intent. But sometimes you really got to have that Big Mac.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I'm not a Big Mac person. I like my quarter pounders.
Yeah, see, I'm a Big Mac guy, but I'm weird that way.
Well, that's not weird. A lot of people prefer mm-hmm. I'm the weird one mm-hmm. that I don't care for the Big Mac so much.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's just it depends on where I'm at. Quarter pounder is better for driving with one hand.
True, absolutely true.
Because the Big Mac's just too messy.
See, I would just go with a basic cheeseburger in that situation. Mm-hmm. You get the two cheeseburgers. Two cheeseburgers and fries. And that's a perfectly acceptable meal for me.
Yeah, no, we're so old. We grew up and you get a bag of cheeseburgers.
Yeah. Eat a bag of dicks.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, it's like, okay, well, where's the value? And we're getting this weird lopsided entitlement feeling.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that.
And, the presenter of the offer is not recognizing that they're not in charge.
That's true. That the person who is ultimately being offered to is the one who can make gets to make the final decision.
Well, no, they have the anywhere along the line they can say, yeah, I'm out of here. It's not the final decision. It's just a decision.
Mm, okay.
Because, like I said, it's an entire process. It's like when we do contracts.
Mm-hmm.
There's an acknowledgement that, yeah, we're here to do contracts.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first stage. Some people have a problem getting into that stage.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that, and it's one of the weirdest dances in the insurance industry is when someone asks these really defined questions and they won't offer, and it's like, oh, let's run a quote. It's like, no, I don't want a quote. And it becomes this weird dance of, okay, they're gonna get as much information on how to get something without ever getting without ever providing any sort of compensation
for it. Right. They're going to, yeah, I've run into that getting basically data mined.
Mm-hmm.
Teach me how to do this so I can do it without you.
Mm-hmm.
And which leaves me going with nothing,
yeah.
Not even a client. Mm-hmm. And it's a very mercenary kind of way to behave. But I think a lot of that comes from the fear of insurance agents to a degree, feeling like we're just there to rip people off.
Yeah. Not realizing that we're small businesses.
No. And we here at Wenatchee Insurance, mm-hmm. that's not how we behave.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it's a very stereotypical trope that we have to overcome sometimes.
Well, it's a learned behavior because we you know, part of that, you know, that fear of getting in there and actually working with experts, mm-hmm. we see that a lot with the poverty brain.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about poverty brain just yesterday.
Yeah, this is part of the whole meat on a bone.
Yeah,
because there's a point where there are folks in our community that have run with a level of poverty for so long, it reshapes how they think.
Yeah, and that's a real thing, and mm-hmm. it creates a lot of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And fear of change is part of it. It comes in play there a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
I've had folks who tried to figure out how to make less money so they could retain their Medicaid health insurance.
We've had folks that wouldn't get health insurance for their kids out of fear that a spouse would be deported. For reporting income.
That's not a poverty thing.
No, that's a poverty thing.
Okay.
Because the whole reporting of income.
Yeah.
We've seen more than one person absolutely seize up mm-hmm. over, hey, the question is, how much do you make?
Yeah.
There's a real disconnect in income.
Mm-hmm.
And how you make it, how you retain it, and build wealth.
Mm-hmm.
There is a large portion of people that have that disconnected to the point where they're just focused on extraction from others.
Yes. Which leads us back to the real estate dude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's really important. And then you start to see the folks around you. You start to, you know, you throw a party, you know,
mm-hmm.
who shows up with, you know, with a case and who just shows up.
Mm-hmm. We've run into that.
We have run into that. You know, throw the house party and, you know, the first thing out of their mouth is, I want a Long Island iced tea.
No.
It's just like.
Ooh. Okay, you walked into this house. You didn't bring, you didn't bring anything but your thirst. Didn't uh-huh. you bring a bag of ice?
Yeah.
And demanding to drink large quantities of liquor. Without offering anything from your side.
Yeah.
And your personality is not enough to back it up. So what's wrong with this picture?
Yeah. But that's a really clear example of someone that doesn't have the attention off themselves
mm-hmm.
and is offering nothing of value.
Mm-hmm. And when you are in a low self-esteem situation, mm-hmm. you will accept that sometimes
mm-hmm.
because you figure you're not worth having something offered to you.
Oh yeah. We've run into to folks because we do our best to make sure that there's something of value. What we want plans that are understandable mm-hmm. and usable.
Right.
It's not too complex of a formula.
Mm-mm.
However, there have been times where it's like, okay, and you can save this amount of money. And suddenly you can see a switch get flipped.
Yes.
And it's like, whether the person across the way is believable
mm-hmm.
and as an added bonus, have I been ripped off this long?
Yeah. Boy, if I run into that. It's like, I've been ripped off for so long that I didn't realize I was being ripped off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's one of those tough situations that you got to work through when you're in that deal process. Mm-hmm. That's two steps in.
Yes.
But it's that presentation, and it's one of those things. There are points where we say, "Nah, stay where you're at."
Yeah, I will do that in a cold minute. Mm-hmm. There are people who would not do that, but I'm not that person. But yeah, it's like, no, this is the plan I think you should stay with. I think you're mm-hmm. this is the right move for you because of this, that, and the other thing. And no, I won't make any money on that deal, but I also create good relationships when I do that.
Well, yeah, it's because we're not focused on
I'm ours. Not focused on me. I'm focused on the entire, everybody, every party.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we're operating our client's best interest.
Exactly. Which is how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah. It's one of those goofy things when they talk fiduciary rules mm-hmm. on how to run a business. You start to see folks that truly take that to heart.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some really wonderful referral partners over that one.
Oh, yes.
It's like, yeah, well, here, take my mom.
Yeah.
You know, make sure that she's got the right Medicare plan.
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, what does my kid need for a car policy?
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes this exchange, because that's what every deal, every proposal is for, is an exchange.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people out there that have gotten to the point where, no, it's all about me. Here, you'll take it and you'll like it.
Yeah.
Here, have this cold, soggy pizza party.
Yum, yum, yum. And with warm flat pop.
And they're not realizing, it's like, okay, well, what's the value?
Mm-hmm.
I remember being on third shift.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. We got pizza. And by the time I got to it, it was, I think it was like, oh, here's two slices of pepperoni that have been old and congealed from Domino's and some flat soda.
Yeah. Well, okay, here's an example of where that happened. There was a situation where I was working and the department I was in got ignored a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they cashed out some financial thing and everyone was supposed to be able to get a couple of steaks out of it, and our department didn't get ours.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good example of, and that was one of the, that was actually a line for me. It's like, okay, I really need to get out of this job. They obviously do not, that kind of thing.
Was that one of your last pharmacy gigs?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was whenever it rolled in with tacos.
That was another one too. Yeah. They rolled in with tacos and did not ask me what I wanted.
Well, you put together probably the sweetest deal ever as a part-timer for that outfit.
Oh, I really did. I pulled all the weekends.
You, Susie, for what was it, 6 years?
5 or 6 years, yeah.
5, 6 years, pulled the Friday, Saturday.
It was Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
No, because Mondays were always the busiest day of the week for the pharmacy, and no one wanted to work on weekends. But I did, because I wanted to be able to be here at the office the rest of the week.
So you gave them the sweetest deal possible.
Yep.
And the funniest thing was they never acknowledged that until you were gone.
No, and probably not even then.
I'm sure you've got some legendary status around there.
I don't know. I don't. Nobody that used to work there still works there.
That's true. They're all gone.
Uh-huh. Yep. It's all...
Management has been flown to the other coast.
Yes. And that was fine. And I don't think... I don't know. Don't care. Don't care.
You've been out of there for at least 5 years.
I know. I'd have to go back and look. Yeah. But it's been a while. And then, frankly, it's like, okay, whatever. And that's not what I... That's not where my heart is anymore. You know?
Yes. But that's a great example of you presenting an awesome deal. And that's how you got in there and how you were able to get what you needed to make it to the next level. And they didn't ever acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they got to the point where it was abusive, it's like, okay, we're out of here.
Yeah. Buggied out because you weren't keeping up your ass side of the deal.
Yeah, because there were points where they were like, oh, no, we need you to work more hours.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, well, here, let's buy everyone tacos.
Yeah.
Except you.
Yeah.
Or, hey, let's not acknowledge that your vacation request that you put in for 6 months ago.
Yeah, that was a big thing. That was actually the line.
Yeah.
Yep. So we've got, if you're going to have a relationship with somebody from a business standpoint, you've got, everyone's mm-hmm. got to be, you work for the win-win.
Yeah, it is about win-wins. And it's also, you know, that goes into any relationship.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
You know, you can't come in and just
you can't just consume.
Just consume or just dump on.
Mm-mm.
There has to be some value more than taking air out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a large population now that is that's what they're happy with.
The super selfish is what it boils down to.
Yeah, it's only their way. And the only time that they will present anything of value is if they figure out that they can get something out the back end.
And that's just, that takes me all the way back to the 70s and the Wall Street me generation, or the 80s, the me generation concept.
Yeah, the boiler rooms.
Yeah.
And it's
greed is good.
Yeah, the Gordon Geckos.
Exactly.
And
no, siren's going by. Hope but okay.
That's Wall Street trickling down to Main Street.
Yeah.
And when it gets to Main Street, it gets ugly.
Mm-hmm. Because it gets a lot more personal.
Well, it's not just personal. It's when someone has nothing left to lose, that's where you start to see an increase in crime.
Oh, that's true.
You start to see an increase in violence.
Because they've got nothing left to lose.
They've got they see nothing of value. They've got nothing left to lose.
The most dangerous person is someone who has nothing to lose.
Yeah. Because there are some wild solutions to problems that no one ever wants to look at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the Raising Arizona where, oh my gosh, I got nothing, so I'm going to rip them off for some Huggies.
Yeah.
Type of mentality.
Well, it's the whole I'll not think twice about shoplifting because it's a victimless crime to a corporation.
No, I gotta flip a little bit on the shoplifting corporation thing.
Okay.
Because one of the things of the last 2 years we heard about from the retail industry
mm-hmm.
that there was this mass increase in theft.
Yes.
And it was widely put out. And then when they published the actual numbers, it wasn't an increase. They were just doing it to close some stores they didn't want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. Well, hey, they threw out a perceived value that a bunch of folks bought into.
Uh-huh. Perceived negative value. It's still a perceived value.
It's still a perceived value. Well, they got increases in police budgets.
Oh, there you go.
You know, they got to pass some more crimes. They got to scream at the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That is the value that those corporations threw out as part of a sales pitch.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way. That's interesting.
Now on the back end, the odds of them getting believed again diminish.
Because
they're the boy who cried wolf.
There you go. That was the analogy we were going with.
So, yeah, it's very important when you put together deals that there is meat on the bone. Get the attention off yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You make it nice for the other person to yes. say yes.
Yes.
And that's one of those little concepts that I had at a very, very young age. I taught my son, make it easy for me to say yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that is a good way to end it.
Yep.
So, hey, out there, start looking at the deals.
Yep.
Someone's offering you something. Is it a value to you or is it a value to them?
Exactly. find a win-win situation. All right. Have a great day. Enjoy your, and we'll talk again next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, let's do that.